This is Jay Sekulow. Is a vote imminent on health care reform and the defunding of Planned Parenthood?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
If the amendment goes in as drafted, I'm going to support it. More importantly, the Freedom Caucus has taken an official position, which means the vast, vast majority of our members are going to support it as well.
The question is whether the Tuesday group is going to be on board. If they are staying on board, then we could have a vote as soon as the House leadership wants to schedule it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Remember, there were many Republicans of all different philosophies that were no the first time the bill was up, which is why the bill was pulled. We're hoping that this common sense amendment and other amendments that I'm sure are likely going to be introduced are going to help us get this bill to the Senate so they can do their legislative work on it too and send it back to us.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Well, here we go again. And the Freedom Caucus says they're on board with a major health care reform. The Tuesday group looks like they are keeping their folks in place and in check on all of this. House Republicans may actually see a vote. It could be as early as tomorrow on the health care repeal, which would include the defunding of Planned Parenthood. So this has been, you talk about coming back from nowhere, this has been quite the turnaround. Let me go right to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. Give us the kind of the lay of the land right now, Than.
Well, the most important thing here, Jay, is that the agreement that was struck between Tom MacArthur and Mark Meadows was posted to the Rules Committee website last night. What that means, Jay, is exactly what you said. It is eligible under House rules for a vote tomorrow. Now, they're still counting the votes, as you said, to see if the centrist Tuesday group are on board with this. But the Freedom Caucus has endorsed it. Jay, I think that means they probably have the 216 votes necessary. Now they have to make a strategic decision. Do they vote on it tomorrow? It is eligible to vote on it if they want to.
I know it's Jim Jordan of Freedom Caucus said the bill at least gives states the option to get waivers to reduce costs. It's more, there is more given to the states here.
Yeah, let's explain that. Than, when they say states can waive out, what are they waiving out of for our audience?
Most importantly, they are waiving out of the essential health benefits that are required under Obamacare, the very burdensome regulations that were driving costs up. Also, Jordan, some of the price controls. It gives states greater flexibility to price controls differently based on age. There, we can get into some of the other details. Some of the reporting out there is not clear, but here's the biggest thing. States will be able to decide if they want those waivers or not. It is not a forced thing. Each state would be able to make their own decision.
Because this is an amendment to, I mean, it's kind of two things. One, to the American Health Care Act, which has not yet had a vote, but it's also amending the existing law. When you actually read through the legislative text, you've got, it's another one of those issues where you'd have to pull up three other texts. Yep. So here's the amendment for our Facebook compares, the MacArthur Amendment that Than is talking about. It's H.R. 1628. But most of this is referring to different subsections of existing legislation. That's why I wanted to ask Than just to clear it up. What does it mean that your state, and Than, expectedly then, those who live in red states, your state is going to waive out. But the system may crumble so much that even the blue states have got to get these waivers.
Well, that's part of what's going on right now, Than, is we're seeing this kind of global failure domestically across the states.
Without a change, coverage is going to literally collapse around across the states. This will give a state, just for example, Jay and Jordan, the opportunity to say, listen, if you want a coverage that does not include all of the requirements under Obamacare, the state can afford you the option to do that. And guess what that's going to do? That is going to make the premium for that coverage much more affordable.
And the defunding of Planned Parenthood is still in there.
It is in there.
All right, folks. Your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about this vote on health care. We're going to talk about the tax plan as well. We're going to talk about an update on our case involving Pastor Brunson. We've got a lot to talk about. And you can ask questions on any of those topics at 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Phone lines just opened up. So again, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Six lines open. We just put them up, and you can join us right now. You can also join us on Facebook and Periscope. We're broadcasting live, and you get your comments in that way if you don't want to give us a call. But again, phone lines are open. Give us a call.
Don't forget also, we are in literally the last few days of our matching challenge campaign. We're a little bit behind where I'd like to be. So if you could support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your phone calls on all these topics. How do you feel about the Republicans moving forward? 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So it looks like we are about to see a first piece of legislation move forward through the House of Representatives. This is a repeal in part of Obamacare. Jim Jordan from the Freedom Caucus has said they're now on board. He wishes it could be more. Let me play what he said, and then I'll get Jordan to comment.
This bill doesn't fully repeal Obamacare, and that's a problem. I mean, costs are going up. We know how bad that law has been. So this bill that may be voted on this weekend doesn't repeal Obamacare, but it at least gives the states the option who get that waiver to get rid of those regulations that drive up cost.
So this is step one, but again, it does include the defunding of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, it does. And it's not, again, this is step one. This is going through that reconciliation process, which allows the Senate to take a basic majority vote. You don't have to get Democrats on board here. You can even lose a Republican or two and bring in Mike Pence to cast the 51st vote. And then you are basically beginning the dismantling of the Affordable Care Act. What that means then is then when you want to put in phase two of this legislatively, now the actual phase two will be the regulatory reform that comes directly from HHS and Secretary Price directing that. So he'll be able to do a lot by regulatory reform, because remember, the legislative text kind of sets it up, but it was the HHS and IRS that were really implementing all of the Obamacare. So that's phase two. Phase three, though, if by that point you've got the American Health Care Act passed, then you've got the regulatory reform.
Right.
By phase three, when you want to do those full legislative changes, buying across state lines, all of those things you can't do through reconciliation, the Democrats will no longer be under that pressure to save Obamacare, because there will no longer be Obamacare, which means you can go hunting for those eight Democrat votes.
Yeah, so I think, so Than, if you were going to kind of weigh it out right now, we're looking at the defunding of Planned Parenthood, we're looking at more state control here. We got a lot of calls coming on this. We're going to get to those in a moment. Where do you see we are in the process itself right now?
I think it's incredible process, Jay. I mean, progress, Jay. I don't think this bill, this amendment, would have been posted to the Rules Committee website if they didn't think they could get to 216. Now, you ask a process question here. Remember, they also have to fund the government tomorrow. So the order that these votes happen in is going to depend a little bit on negotiations with Democrats. So I don't want people to panic if they don't see this on the floor tomorrow. But I do think the fact that they put text out there and that the Freedom Caucus formally endorsed it, Jay, I think we are going to get there on this language.
All right, Logan, let's go ahead. I know comments are coming in. Phone calls are coming in as well. Phone lines are jammed right now on this with really good questions. I mean, I'm looking at the call screener. It's a really good question here. Let's go ahead and take some.
All right, we'll go through order the ones that called in. Let's go to Locke in Chattanooga, Tennessee. All right, you're on the air, Locke.
Hey, Locke, go ahead.
Yeah, I love your show, Jay.
Thanks.
Good job. Wish we had it on radio here in Chattanooga. But anyway, I watch it on Facebook.
While you're on lock, we're going to check to see if we are in Chattanooga. I think we are. We're going to go look that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, look that up. But anyway, it doesn't matter what they vote on in the House, does it not? Because the Senate will change the bill. It'll be totally different.
You got to get it. You got to do this systematically. And process one is get it through the House of Representatives. Then it goes to the Senate. So let's talk about the differential that we could expect. First of all, let's get the vote in the House and pass it. Then what do we see in the Senate? What's your thoughts here, Jordan?
Well, in the Senate, I mean, you kind of have that process where they can take the legislation as is. I mean, that is rare. They can propose amendments. They could also come up with their own. I mean, Than, it could get complicated at the Senate level, but Senator McConnell, the majority leader, could also try to streamline that as well.
It will get complicated, Jordan. The legislative process is tricky. And look, one of the fights we're going to have is on that Planned Parenthood funding. I think we can win it. I think the vote will be 50-50 with Vice President Pence casting the tie-breaking vote. But remember, the best chance to get it through the Senate is if you get it to them under the reconciliation process. Jordan, if we don't get it to them now, when it does go to the Senate, they will need 60 votes to pass something. I can guarantee you the product that gets 60 votes in the Senate will not be nearly as good as this product that they're going to get this week.
We also have some good news for Locke. He was worried about not being able to hear us in Chattanooga.
We are on 88.5. That is FMW. 203 AZ live 11 a.m. Central Time for him or noon Eastern. I'm not sure. Wait, is Chattanooga Central?
Yeah, Chattanooga. I don't know.
I'm not sure. It's on now. Eastern. Should be on now, Locke. So take a look. 88.5 for you.
And that's
Jay Sekulow Live is on right now. Just confirmed. So
right.
There you go.
There we are. Arn in Chattanooga as we continue to expand out the network. All right, let's get some more calls.
All right,
more comments.
Yeah, let's take one more call. Then I'll get some comments. Let's go to Frank in LA.
Hey, Frank.
Guys, my question is regarding the tax plan and I guess also the health care plan, is it going to affect blue states and red states differently? Because my understanding, I was reading an article where it was saying like states like New York and California, which is where I'm from, that we would be losing valuable deductions.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the tax plan in the back 30 minutes of the broadcast, but I'll give you a quickie. Yes, in the proposed plan, state income taxes would not be deducted from federal income taxes. But for middle-class Americans, the rates are going to be dropped so significantly that you're going to be way ahead on that. And Professor Harry Hutchinson will talk about that. But it does affect Obamacare, too, and the whole health care issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, though, the tax plan and the rates that were really announced yesterday, and that's all we got was a rate structure, really, that was announced by the White House team on Treasury and top economic advisor Gary Cohn. But what you've got is just a simplification, as we've been talking about. Most Americans will under this plan, if it was got through Congress, then onto the president's desk, will be able to file on one page. Instead of these...
They're talking about a postcard.
Yeah, I mean, because you go from seven brackets. So, again, and those seven brackets, a lot of that affects you. I mean, these are like on the margins of exact... That's why you need tax preparers to help you, because right now you got a 39.6, a 35, a 33, a 28, a 25, a 15, a 10... this would just take it to 10, 25, and 35. So it'd be much easier for an individual without having to go to a tax preparer to figure out, hey, which one of those three am I in based off the income that I make. Now, for the corporate side, I think this is where you see America potentially boom.
Yep.
Because you go from, we have the highest tax rate 35%. Right now in the developed world to 15% being the highest.
Yeah, I mean, this
you
would
talk about
create jobs.
Potentially bringing back American manufacturing, a 15% top tax on corporate tax. Would probably do it.
Oh, it would. I think it would. I think
you could start
we'll talk with Professor Merchinson about that, our director of policy. You want to take another call, Logan, or you want to take another comment?
Here's a comment. It said, Jay, can you explain again what will happen to the money that goes to Planned Parenthood if it's defunded?
This is important. So if Planned Parenthood is defunded, this, I want to ask Dan a Senate question on that, but let's assume it happens. They're going to take that money and reallocate it to health care centers, community health centers, to provide those women are in need. So women that need medical care will be able to get that through community health centers. It just defunds Planned Parenthood because they're engaged in the abortion business. So the money is still going to be there and be probably much more effective, I believe, and better for women in the United States of America. What's going to happen on that side of it in the Senate, Van?
Well, and again, they were also talking about Medicaid eligibility. So it would mean Planned Parenthood's not even eligible. It would mean Medicaid dollars are available to so many more. On the Senate side, Jay, remember, we won a huge victory 2 years ago when the parliamentarian said this could be included in reconciliation. That was the biggest threat to this language. We have already won that. Now, there will be an amendment, I believe, to strike that language altogether. So Republicans and pro-life Democrats will have to come to the Senate floor and defend it. But look, I'm only aware of two Republicans that have said they cannot support that language. Even if every Democrat votes against it, Vice President Pence should be able to keep that language in the bill.
But, Jordan, it could be that close. I mean, we're talking about it could be a one-vote margin because the vice president can break that tie.
Yes, and I think, again, that's why you are still playing, a legislative battle here down to the wire. These are nail-biters. Even if there's a vote tomorrow scheduled on health care, I mean, the earliest possible vote could be tomorrow, I think it's still a nail-biter because you get one person who gets put off by it. I mean, literally one person. If somebody got sick and can't show up, I mean, when you're dealing with these kind of margins and variables, and then the various interest groups pushing,
yep.
These votes really depend on especially for people in close election seats.
Yep,
it goes right down to who are the major business players in their constituencies, who are the major employers in their constituencies, and their constituents. What is their average income? Because each congressman has got different income levels is their average. They've all got different kinds of folks they're representing. Just in the Republican side, I mean, yep. We're assuming that zero Democrats in the House yep. or Senate will vote for this.
Yep. Let's try to grab this other call because this is a really interesting call. Go ahead,
yep,
Nancy
in Ventura, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Line Nancy. Six.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm just curious to know. I understand, and for myself, the Planned Parenthood sure. part of getting rid of this is yep. the most important part. So yep. if I had to stay at the cost of what I'm paying right now
sure.
for a little bit of time, I'm okay with that.
Yep.
I'm just wondering, though, have you gentlemen looked through this plan?
Yes.
Because I hear other Republican talk show hosts talking about how it still kind of stinks.
No, I disagree with them, and I've heard that too. I think, look, this is the art of the possible, not the art of the perfect. There are changes in here that are significant. It's also going to keep our health insurance industry still in check. And remember, this is phase one. So we're in favor of it. With the Planned Parenthood funding to us, that makes it better because we'd love to see Planned Parenthood defunded. But the bill itself is going to help the American people, especially on the health care issue. So we're endorsing this. We're supporting it. The Freedom Caucus is now on board. Hopefully the Tuesday group, the more moderates, will hang in there as well. And then we'll be fighting in the United States Senate. All right, we are back with a lot more. Phone lines are completely jammed.
That's right. There's calls from all around the country. We'll be taking those coming up in the next segments of the broadcast. You can always get your comments in on Facebook or Periscope, and the phone lines are jammed. We'll take some of those during the break and during the show. Obviously, exclusive content that comes up. Oh, one line. Oh, it's gone. Sorry, that was quick. 1-800-684-3110. If those people don't make it on the air, maybe you will.
All right, we'll be back with more in a moment, including, don't forget, our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, we're talking about taxes. We're talking about health care. But I also want to mention that we had a series of meetings yesterday in an office in Washington, D.C. with the Brunson family. That is Pastor Andrew Brunson. He's currently in jail in Turkey. American pastor, born in North Carolina, been ministering in Turkey for 23 years. Got kind of caught up, Jordan, or swept up in this almost coup-like environment that was going
on.
There was a coup.
Some people thought it may have been staged by the Erdogan government to clamp down and then seize more power. Regardless, there was a coup. Remember, we ended up here. I remember you turn on the TV and you've got tanks in the streets of Istanbul. It was put down very quickly. There wasn't a ton of violence on the streets, but now what we saw was thousands upon thousands of arrests. So we believe that Pastor Brunson, being an American, again, being a Christian pastor, small congregation, been there for 23 years, but suddenly gets caught up in a government that is basically trying to remove. Now, whether that's through imprisonment or deportation, which would be a different matter. If they deported him, they've got their sovereignty. You can deport people. Yep. You can not renew visas. We do that here, too. Yep. But that's not what they ended up doing. They were going to do that. Yep. They were just going to deport him. And I think that would have been a much easier move for Turkey. Probably wrong still, but an easier move because they have the right to do that.
So
illegally imprisoning him
different.
Brings up international violations,
right.
Also threatens Turkey's relationship with the United States. But, this is now a government that they never joined the EU, but Turkey now today is thinking about having a referendum to say we never want to join the EU.
Right.
We'll never be part of it because they're Islamophobic, supposedly.
Yeah, so
which is interesting because Europe, other than Turkey,
an Islamist regime.
But Europe, other than Turkey, has taken in the most refugees from the Islamic world.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of interesting that their position. So, but I think it's not so much about Europe as it is Turkey wants to be in the Islamic world.
The good news is, I think, and I've had conversations with the president's office. I've had conversations with the vice president. You've had conversations with members of Senate. It looks like things are moving in the right direction anyways.
The high-level engagement from the United States government, Jay, has been fantastic. You mentioned the president, the vice president, Secretary Tillerson. We're meeting with the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee and the Senate side, Senator Corker, later this afternoon. Met with four other senators earlier today.
Yeah.
I actually just returned from meetings at the State Department. Look, full court press from the United States government, that is a very good sign.
And let me tell you something else that's nice. We're not having to beg to get this going, which we did under the previous administration. All right, Logan, let's go right back to the phone calls at 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Craig in New Orleans. Think a question a lot of people have. Craig, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. It's really concerning that, we have majorities all over the place. And, why isn't anything getting done?
All right, we'll cut you off, Craig. I know you've been on hold a while, and I'm sorry. Just there was a lot of connection issues, but he just said he can't figure out. Here's what his comment was. Craig from New Orleans said, flabbergasted why we can't get anything accomplished despite having Republican control in the government.
Well, we don't have 60 votes in the Senate. There's not 60 votes of the Republicans in the Senate. So, Than, there is this sense, though, that why can't things move forward? I think there was an initial from a leadership standpoint, it was not planned well when we had the first rollout of this. Now it seems like they're into a bit of a groove here.
Well, look, I think the failure on the first vote in the House of Representatives was not good for Republicans. I agree with that. But look, the whole reason, the caller's exactly right on this. The whole reason there is a rush on this is because you can't get to 60 votes. That requires Democrats. They're not going to go along. That's why we really do have to move now, because you can move it with 50 votes plus the vice president. And that's why if we do get a vote either tomorrow or next week on this, I view it as a major, major victory.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and go right back to the phones or take a comment on Facebook and Twitter, whichever you'd like to do, Logan.
Yeah, a lot of people still are commenting. They're kind of going back and forth between the healthcare and what's going on in different topics. Kim says, Jay, I'm confused. Are you opposed to a full repeal? Why are you supporting what you're supporting?
No, I do. I would love to see a full repeal, but you can't get a full repeal done through reconciliation. So it's a procedural thing. We've been very direct and very clear that we think Obamacare has been a disaster. It is a disaster and will continue to be a disaster as it unravels. But this is what you can get done through reconciliation.
Which means you don't have to get any Democrat votes in the Senate. And then you can go back to this when you've dismantled Obamacare to the point where it no longer exists. And then Democrats suddenly need to save. They need a new health care plan. because their constituents want more.
Exactly.
And they want something more streamlined. So it actually works better legislatively. And I think what you'll see is not just us, but you're going to see the most conservative members of Congress then end up supporting this. I mean, if the Freedom Caucus is behind it, they may lose some moderates. That's how conservative this has gotten.
Yeah, I am. That's right. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I just guess that's exactly correct. And on the outside, I think you're going to see more people come to support this. This is the most you can do under reconciliation. Sure, you can rip it out of the statute later. But, Jay, you know this. You can't rip it out of the statute in reconciliation.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. So, all right, let's grab another. We got time. Let's grab another call here.
All right, let's go to whoever's been holding the longest right now. Annie Mae in Washington, you're on the air.
Hey, Annie Mae, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, I just called the show to tell you thank you, because I've been listening to your show now since about February of 2016.
Great.
And before that time, I hadn't voted in the last couple of elections because I was just so depressed about the whole situation of the government and what was going on.
Yeah.
And I really believed that I was just waiting for Jesus to come, and I thought that everything was going to be over soon. And
so are you feeling, first of all, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. And we want to give people hope. I mean, look, I've got a lot of hope. You got to operate on hope. So it sounds like you've got that. And that's very, very important. And we're thrilled, by the way, that you're listening. Anna Mae is listening from Washington State, so that's great. Our syndication network has grown a lot in the last year. About that time is when we started really expanding, so we're thrilled with this. And if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, Logan will tell you in a little bit how you can do that, but we won't do that. I think we could squeeze in another call or a comment.
All right, we can do another call. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Felicia in Atlanta.
Hey, Felicia, go ahead.
Hi, hey. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling regarding the Medicaid health care and just was wondering if any changes will be made through the Health Care Act or...
All right, about Medicare? Medicaid?
Yes.
All right, let's talk about Medicaid. Jordan and Than?
I'd go to Than, I mean, because this has gone back and forth. That's one of the issues here. It's gone back and forth about how much this would change those entitlement programs. So, Than, what should people expect out of this? I'm talking just the American Health Care Act. If it gets voted on these next few days, any changes there?
The newest amendment, Jordan, does not change what was already in the underlying bill. If you'll remember, in the underlying bill, it does reform Medicaid to some extent, giving states greater flexibility. There's a block grant of sorts that goes back. But essentially, if you're on Medicaid, I would argue that this is a very strong improvement for you, because the people who will be deciding what benefits you receive will reside closer to you. They will be your state legislatures and your governors, not the federal government of the United States.
There you have it. All right, we are here for another half hour, and I'm happy to say a lot of stations are now carrying the full hour of the broadcast besides SiriusXM. We're heard across the country all day almost with our syndication now, but if your station's not carrying it, they should. But Logan's going to let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes in case you don't.
That's right. If you don't get it, or you want a different experience, you can log on over to Facebook or Periscope or ACLJ.org. All broadcasts are live video streams. You get to see us in a television studio. You get to talk to us during the breaks. We don't ever go to break. We show exclusive videos during some of the breaks, and sometimes we just sit and we talk. And you can get your questions in via Facebook at facebook.com/JSeculo or Periscope, search for JSeculo. We also have one line open, so you can take it, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110.
Can I also ask, we are in the last, 3 days here of our matching challenge campaign, so I want to close the month out positive here, folks, and we could use your help. If you make a donation of any amount, we get a matching gift for it. It's at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. I'm going to encourage you to make a donation now. That will really help us out. Again, aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you are just joining us, let me give you kind of a recap. Number one, could be a vote tomorrow on healthcare, the beginning of healthcare repeal. I know you're saying tomorrow. Yeah, literally tomorrow. You're talking about coming back from the dead legislation. This is one that a lot of people thought was over with, but the Freedom Caucus has said they are now on board, and I think they have helped move the process forward. The Tuesday group, which is the more moderate Republicans, say they're ready to go as well, it looks like. And there could be a vote as early as tomorrow. So, again, this isn't the full repeal of Obamacare, but it is a great start. Tax reform, we're going to get into that in the next segment of the broadcast. There is a lot of movement on that. The president laid out the kind of the sketch, a framework of a tax plan. We're going to get our director of policy to talk about that. And then our team yesterday and today is meeting with members of the United States Senate on Pastor Andrew Brunson. I'm happy to say that the president has been fully engaging the issue for his release out of Turkey, and so has the United States Senate. And the beauty of this is we haven't had to beg for this as we did in previous administrations, and I'm optimistic that we're going to see a successful conclusion. We have a lot of phone calls coming in today. The phone lines have been jammed the entire time we've been on the air. Yep. So we're going to go. I want to take one right here in this first segment.
Let's go to Marguerite in Boise, Idaho on line five. You're on the air.
Hi, Marguerite.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not going to say that I understand everything. That would be ridiculous. I'm basically your middle-class American.
Yep.
We're self-employed, and we're hit heavily last year with the because of Obamacare.
Yep,
and
sure.
I guess my to kind of get it down to a very quick, concise thing is,
yeah,
is what y'all are moving towards is that for somebody who does not want health care,
yeah,
okay, that's the group I'm in. In other words, I think affordable health care is important. Okay, there's a lot of
sure
families out there,
right,
they've got kids. All. You know what? The last time, I'm 49, the last time I went to a doctor was when I was 25. Doesn't
yeah
mean that I've never gotten a sinus infection, but I just choose not to use my
yeah
money that way.
Yeah,
okay?
I mean, there's so, also other things besides health care insurance. There's MedShare, there's other plans out there. But are they going to have the mandate? And the answer to that is I don't think so. I think the mandate stuff's going to be over.
That's already been. I mean,
that's,
through executive order,
it.
There's no penalty. So,
right.
I mean, right now, you're in the clear. I mean, is it a best decision? I think a lot of people would take issue with you. Again, for all Americans, because you're in a car accident, you have nothing, and you end up actually costing all of us because your decision not
right
to. I'm not trying to be nasty to you, but you're actually one of the reasons why I pay more in healthcare and our listeners pay more is because you said,
so I
choose not to spend it. Now, are we going to mandate you do that?
No.
No, we're not.
We don't believe that. But
I think that for reasonable, rational people who can afford some kind of plans, even catastrophic. What if you're in a car wreck
yeah
in 30 minutes
Marguerite,
from now?
Let me ask you this. If your plans were not, I mean, you said middle-class working American. I get it completely. If the plans were reasonable, if you can get insurance for, again, health care insurance for $350, $400 a month, would you do that?
Well, let me just tell you, in my will and what I want is, I don't want chemotherapy.
Well, I understand that.
No,
but if you got if you were in a car, here's what Jordan's
yeah
trying to say. If you were in a God forbid, an accident, you're going to be taken to a healthcare hospital. That's what we do in the
and
United
they're
States.
They're going to treat you.
And they will treat you. They could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you just were spending $300 a month and had what was called a catastrophic policy, that would take the burden off of everybody else. That would be reasonable. The problem is right now, those policies don't exist.
You can't get them. Because
Marguerite, we would say, I would recommend everybody have health care insurance. That's what or MedShare or whatever you're going to do, because I think it's better for the system and it's better for your family, because you're talking about an illness that's controlled if you were diagnosed with something. But there are accidents and things happen to people. So that's why we think that this is a good plan to get those healthcare premiums down where people can afford it, because it is spiraling out of control right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the issue is it's not – and we've talked about this. This has always been the key issue with healthcare. It's not the very poor and the very rich. It's
yep
middle-class Americans who with these plans, the cost went up so high they said –
they couldn't afford it.
I'd rather just not have – and they've gotten under this mindset of I won't have insurance.
It's because the insurance care was costing them $15,000 a year.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a great plan.
That's a pretty bad plan.
Yeah. And it was – okay, so that's not $300. So that's why we're talking about it. All right, we're going to get into taxes next. We'll take more calls also because it's all related. Healthcare and taxes, all related. We'll take those when we come back from the break, and we'll take comments too.
That's right. If you're watching on social media, a clip from Jordan on Fox News from earlier this week. You can find that yesterday. It's earlier this week. Yeah, so it's coming up in about 5 seconds. If you're watching, if not, log on over to Facebook, Periscope or ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. I've talked extensively with our government affairs director, Than Bennett, about the potential for a health care vote tomorrow. And listen, folks, we'll be tracking this closely. This is one that obviously that's the earliest the vote could be. It would be significant. To make it clear, the American Center for Law and Justice supports this legislation and the legislative amendments that have been proposed. We want this to pass. We support this. We want you to support this. I think we had a great discussion about it earlier in the broadcast. We'll continue to talk about it as well because people are on the lines holding to discuss as well. But there was also a new tax plan announced yesterday by the Treasury Secretary and the top economic advisor to the White House. And we bring in Harry Hutchinson, who's got a significant background in the law and economics as well. He's a professor focused in law schools on law and economics, now a top policy analyst for us here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Harry, we got the Trump tax plan, much more simplified, much more straightforward. Now, it will have to be put into legislative text. It's somewhat different than what Paul Ryan did. But it's something, again, that for a lot of individuals – would be pretty easy to figure out.
Absolutely. So for many individuals, they will no longer need to itemize. Why? Because the standard deduction will double under this proposal, both for individuals and for families. So that's a significant move. In addition, it will lower corporate taxes. This will spur job growth, economic growth, and reduce either the deficit or the deficit as a percentage of gross national product.
Let me ask you this, Harry. Tying in that we're talking about taxes, we got a lot of calls coming in on taxes. We got calls coming in also on health care. They're not mutually exclusive here. I'm going to go to Than in a minute on this, but they're not mutually exclusive. It's all part of kind of an entire process here.
Absolutely. So both proposals, in some sense, are integrated. First, we need to pass Obamacare repeal and replacement. Why? Because that has tax and budget implications.
And it's the tax is almost 4%, right? It's about a 3.92 or something?
Yeah. 3.9, I think.
Yeah.
In addition, of course, the tax savings or the budgetary savings are about a trillion dollars. That's very significant. And also, it will be significant in terms of increasing the level of employment, encouraging employers, for instance, who no longer have to face an employer mandate to hire additional workers. And you couple that with tax reform, I could see the economy moving into the 3-4% growth range as opposed to the 1-2% under the prior administration.
Yeah. I mean, which is a huge difference. So, Than, and then I want to go take some calls here. Than, as Harry just said, you've kind of got a combination factors here between healthcare and taxes. The process is, I heard when the chairman of the or the subcommittee chairman today say, this year on taxes, he doesn't want to give an exact date and month, but does think it's going to be this year.
I think that's right, and it will take some time. I'd encourage everybody to read Harry's piece on this because it lays it out very well. But look, the reason you do need to do Obamacare first, if at all possible, is because if you take those Obamacare taxes off the table before you enter this tax reform phase, Jay, it helps you meet the deficit reduction score that you need to get to. So the process does matter. The order in which it happens does matter. That's yet another reason to move Obamacare off the table this week.
Yeah, and I mean, Obamacare tax is like 3.8. I've said 3.9. It's a lot. It's almost 4%. All right, Mary's calling on line two. From Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Jay. Hey. All you good-looking guys. Yeah. I have a quick question, but I also have a comment quick. Love the band.
Thank you.
The show. Love the guys.
All right.
Okay, now, I'm 63.
Okay.
And my husband and I are both on Social Security.
Sure.
And the Democrats, oh, God, have been saying how they're not going to vote on any of this and how...
Yep.
How...
Everything's horrible?
Yeah, everything's horrible, and the seniors are going to get nailed.
Yeah, so
now,
go ahead and finish.
Who's lying, sweetie?
All right, well, let me tell you what I think. I think you've got a entrenched group within the opposition party to the current majority party, so the Democrats versus the Republicans, and they don't want to see, could you imagine their reaction politically? I'll go with Jordan first. If healthcare gets fixed, and tax reform, the first time in a generation that tax reform has been redone. I mean, this would be, believe me, Mary, they don't want this.
No, I mean, this
politically.
This again, it would be, you take these first 100 days in this big talk about, oh, what's been done, what's not been done. Let's say this happens all the next, well, for healthcare, it could happen the first right now. Tax reform takes a little bit longer, but if this happens within the first year, this would be a fundamental change in domestic policy in America, more fundamental than the Reagan tax cuts, more fundamental than, and then when it comes to healthcare, getting rid of an entitlement program within 2 years is huge in America. It hardly ever happens. That's why we have failing Social Security, failing Medicaid, and failing Medicare. Programs that for many people my age, we're just paying extra taxes for, and we're never going to see, you know, especially when it comes to Social Security, it's just not sustainable in its current form. But if you can fundamentally reform something like the Affordable Care Act, which was going to be another one of those entitlement programs, that is politically huge, policy huge, and legacy building. You've already got, when you talk about the Obama legacy is basically the Affordable Care Act. That gets erased, and Donald Trump's got three major legacy items with it. He's got a Supreme Court justice, possibly tax reform, and the health care change.
That's a pretty big three. Let me take Marlene. She's got an interesting call. I'm going to have Harry answer. Marlene, go ahead. You're on line six.
Yeah.
Hey.
My question is, if they pass the budget first, and so much is allocated to Planned Parenthood, and then they take the reformed Obamacare things and they leave Planned Parenthood out of it, how does that work?
So let's talk about order here, Harry, because as I said in the beginning, these are, and of course, Professor Hutchinson is our director of policy. These are not mutually exclusive proposals. So, and by the way, we're fighting hard to keep that Planned Parenthood defunding in there, and I believe we're going to see a win on that. It may take Mike Pence voting in the Senate, but I think we're seeing it. But you've got to be looking all, you are, I know, looking at all of this together.
We have to look at all of these issues simultaneously. They are interrelated. So, yes, a continuing resolution might fund Planned Parenthood temporarily.
Yeah.
But then if we pass Obamacare reform and repeal and we strip out funding for Planned Parenthood, that's it. So long as the United States Senate goes along with that proposal. So it's important to sequence these bills correctly. And if we do it right, that means going forward, Planned Parenthood will no longer be funded. That would be a huge win for conservatives.
So, all right. So, Than, based on what Harry just said, how do you see it in Washington right now, today?
Right. The language in the reconciliation bill, as Harry accurately described, if it is passed, Jay, on the day it is signed into law, Planned Parenthood will be ineligible to apply for Medicaid dollars on the day it is signed. That doesn't matter if the CR passes first, even if it continues that funding. Yep. On the day the reconciliation passed for a period of 1 year, they cannot apply for those funds.
All right. Courtney's calling on line four. She's calling from Bakersfield, California. Hey, Courtney.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great.
I have a question. Yep. I read that Donald Trump offered Planned Parenthood an option.
Correct.
If they were to stop abortions, he would continue to fund them for women's health care.
That's correct. And they said no, and they said no because they are in the business of abortion. They are not in the business of women's health care.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, this was, again, it was a deal of Planned Parenthood would be fundamentally changing to just providing women's health and probably would have to up a lot in what kind of women's health they provided. But I don't think it was a bad move for President Trump to say that, hey, if you want all this federal funding, here's an option for you to keep it. Can't do abortions anymore. It put Planned Parenthood on the line. They say they're not, you know, fundamentally just focused on abortion. They are. It's the only thing they care about. It's their moneymaker. It's how they take in the other money that the federal government doesn't provide. They've already I think they've already done 80,000 abortions since the Trump presidency yes. began. So this defunding of Planned Parenthood is significant in this reconciliation bill.
All right, we are going to take more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 as we go into the last segment of the broadcast, 800-684-3110. And I'm happy to say we have some lines open, which we have not been able to say all day today. So we got three lines open, 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. We've got an email going out on Pastor Brunson. We're making some real progress there. Meetings going on in Washington, D.C. on that. Now, let me just assure you that the President, the Vice President, and the Senate are now fully engaged in this issue. And as I said, we didn't have to beg. We've got some real movement there. I'm looking forward to a release soon. We've got to keep the pressure up. Than and the team, CC Heil, they're working on it right now. And again, when we come back from the break, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for it. Ends at the end of April. I think Saturday, maybe Sunday, the last day we do it. So just a few days left. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-877-877. 989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
The broadcast. Remember, last segment of the program, we encourage you to call us. Phone lines are jammed right now. Get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. Logan, let's go in the kind of the order people have called. We'll just kind of pass it around the horn here.
All right. A lot of people have been holding for me. Let's go to Chris in New York. He's been holding for 20 minutes. Thanks, Chris, for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Chris.
Make it good. In Nevada. I'm sorry. Not New York. Chris in Nevada.
Oh, thank
you're
you.
On the air. My fault. Sure.
Yes, this is Chris in Nevada.
Yep, great. Right.
On this issue with the Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
First, I say I'm very leery of our government and their choice of hot-button issues to push through agendas. Abortion, it is a hot-button issue because of our spiritualities, and that's a very long conversation. So I really, as far as that goes...
Well, let me ask you this, Chris. How do you feel about Planned Parenthood being defunded?
I can talk both sides of that.
Well,
issue.
Let me give you one side. They're the largest provider of abortions in the world, and you're paying for it with tax dollars. How does that make you? You're okay with that? Because I'm not.
I am not. For me personally.
Okay. Well, But you personally are paying for this, and this is the fundamental problem, Harry, with the entire system right now, is that through our taxes. They are paying for it. Chris is paying for it.
Absolutely. It's a coercive transfer from individuals who are fundamentally opposed to abortion, who believe in the inherent dignity of human life. They are being compelled to fund this ideological organization.
Yeah. It's interesting because Chris says she's leery of the government doing things, but yet wants to keep the government deciding where to spend your money. I think this is the problem with entitlements, with programs, with funding, is people get freaked out when you say we're not going to do this anymore and everybody thinks the sky is going to fall. Government programs don't work well. We are now dismantling one of them. That is what we're hoping to do through this, is because government programming that tries to play around with the private sector, which is what this, which the Affordable Care Act did, is even worse because you get prices out of control and it's not good for people. So everybody out there is so libertarian until they actually have to vote on getting rid of government
programs. And
then they
don't want to change the policy. But that's why we're going to fight aggressively on this and continue to push. All right, Logan, let's grab another call.
All right, let's go to Randall in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on line 5. Randall, welcome to JSEC. You're live.
Hey, Randall, go ahead.
All right. Well, I got a question. I was wondering about what it means to not being able to buy insurance across state lines.
So there's no competition. I mean, this is one of the great problems of this. Of course, you can't change that through reconciliation, is that there is no competition between states, and that makes a big difference. Some of these states are really suffering over this.
Yeah, current law only allows individuals to buy within their own state, subject to their own state regulations. Jay, this is something that we've called for in stage 3 of this process, which would allow someone, say, living in Illinois, to go to a Virginia insurance company and buy a plan there. It would dramatically increase competition across the states. We have said from the very beginning that should be a part of this process.
Yep.
I sure hope it is in stage 3.
So let me ask you this, Harry. If you're looking at this kind of as from a policy perspective, We've talked about it's got to be orderly, it's got to be organized, but we also, as Jordan just said, we've actually got to do it.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't be just talking about it here.
So when we talk about the current repeal and replacement effort, that's simply phase one. Phase two involves changes in rules and regulations, which the HHS secretary can achieve on his own.
Right.
Thirdly, in phase three, we need new legislation to eliminate more of these onerous rules and regulations.
Then, on a regulatory standpoint, really quickly here, the administration wants to deregulate a lot of industries, which I think is a good move here. How is that being perceived right now?
They're being promulgated right now. I actually spoke with someone yesterday inside of the department. Jay, there are, of course, as you know, requirements. They have to be drafted. They have to be promulgated. They have to be posted. They have to take comments on them. But they are moving forward on that. So I expect some announcements on that in the next few weeks.
All right, let's take another phone call, Logan.
All right, Betty in Columbus, Ohio. You're up.
Hey, Betty. We're taking calls, by the way, at 800-684-3110. Betty, go ahead.
Hey, Jay. Do the proposed tax changes affect a church's ability to talk about political issues due to churches being tax exempt?
So it doesn't, by the way, it doesn't eliminate the deductions, but we're talking about, you're talking about the Johnson Amendment. So where does that stand right now, Fan? Where are we on that as far as this goes?
The president still supports it. This is one of the ideas that I think Congress will try to insert in this package. We don't have any legislative text yet, but this is one of the items that we are going to ask to be included.
I could see it go through. I mean, I could see this happening. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
if we keep it up, but we got to keep it in the forefront here, folks.
Yeah, these are all issues that you got to keep pressing on and you've got to unite behind. What did we see in that first healthcare failure is that people didn't unite. I think they got the message and the word is that you've got to take what you can get in Washington incrementally sometimes,
yep,
and claim victory when you do. And not just, you know, everything is not going to be 100%. I think conservatives who try to govern that way have shown. You know what that usually leads to? Government shutdowns.
Right. Wait, and a government shutdown here or something.
Leads to Democrats taking back the House in the Senate.
Exactly. All right, let's grab these last two calls.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Brenda in Milwaukee. You're on the air on line four.
Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. My question is, I was reading something yesterday about them pulling back the verbiage for Congress being exempt from this plan. Is that true?
I don't know on that. Fan, has there been any movement on the congressional, the fact that the Congress is not part of it right now?
When this comes up for a vote, Jay, they will have to take a separate vote to make sure that Congress does not get any sweet deals in this. Essentially, again, we don't have to get into this, but this was a reconciliation requirement. They will take a follow-up bill to make sure that they are subject to the very same rules.
Yeah, so I think this is, I think that's where that is. All right. All right. Last caller.
Let's go to Larry, who's calling on line two. You're on the air.
All right. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Jay. I've been a long-time listener, and
great.
I love what you guys do.
Thanks.
My quick question is, what is the health state of Pastor Bronson? You know, like, how have the Turks been treating him?
I mean, he's in a prison in Turkey, so.
Yeah, it's different than Iran, North Korea, obviously, China. He's not in a work camp. Here's the problem. It's not so much his day-to-day health. It's not even, you know, he's not able to not speak to anybody, family, or his attorney. Now, it's all recorded because they're in a state of emergency, so he has no attorney-client privileges. But those are kind of different problems than what you're asking about. The problem is that because Turkey is, on the one hand, cracking down on people they believe are dissidents or even potential dissidents, but on the other hand, so we believe that's wrong for all of those people, but on the other hand, they are dealing with ISIS terrorists and real problematic, yep, people and hardened criminals, a huge country. So when you put someone in a prison with hardened criminals, terrorists, plus political dissidents, every day you're in prison, there's a risk that there's some kind of violence in the prison. He's an American. He's a Christian. I mean, it kind of puts a target on your back. So every day you're in prison, the risk goes up that something bad will happen to you because he's not in a detention facility anymore.
I will tell everybody, we are working on it aggressively. We are working at it. The president's working on it. The vice president's working on it. The Senate is working on it. Our team's working on it. We've got an email going out on his case right now. We encourage you to sign that petition so then we're with the president or with the vice president. We can continue to keep them posted as to how this goes. Fan, you're going into, we only got a few seconds here, you're going into meetings again right this afternoon.
In just a few minutes, we head over to meet with the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He's been on this from the very beginning. He's with us again today, Jay.
All right, so they're fighting back on this. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Just today, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and that's probably it. Maybe Sunday, but really Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And Logan will let you know all the ways you can engage with us.
That's right. ACLJ.org. You can find everything. You can also get the ACLJ app if you have an Apple device like an iPhone, an iPad, Apple TV. Or you can get us the ACLJ app also on Roku if you have a Roku TV or a Roku box. Find that right there, the JSEC Live podcast available. Or if you get your podcast, see you tomorrow.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.